It's time to read the East Valley News. Thank you for joining me. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Today we're going to be focusing on the news from the past week for Ahwatukee and Tempe, including Action Squad to Bring Back Streets Officials, Ahwatukee Playwright Premieres Play in Los Angeles, Gila River I-10 Bridges Hit a Milestone, Tempe, Phoenix Bury Hatchet Over Sky Harbor, and Phoenix-Tempe deal could bring apartments to land once sought for Coyotes Arena. Our first article from the Ahwatukee Foothills News. Action Squad to Bring Back Streets Officials by Paul Mariniak. The Phoenix Street Transportation Department is returning for encore at the December meeting of the Phoenix Police South Mountain Precinct Action Squad in Ahwatukee, and a special guest will be Councilman Kevin Robinson when the squad meets today at 5:30 at the Pecos Community Center at 17010 South 48th Street. We will be hearing from the Streets Department again, as there was a lot of good follow-up questions after the last meeting, said squad leader Detective Chris Mulder. We will be also introducing the Streets Area Inspector, who can handle all of the street-related issues in Ahwatukee. Since I was introduced to her a couple weeks ago, she has already handled two separate community concerns. Mulder also said he'll review this year's crime statistics and answer questions as best I can. I know there's a lot of questions about certain incidents that have recently occurred, he said. We will do our best to address them, but please bear in mind that we will be limited in how we can answer these questions. At the November meeting, Jose Rodriguez, engineering manager for the Street Transportation Department, discussed the widening project on 48th Street between the South Point Parkway roundabout and Baseline Road, a project that initially was expected to take less than a year and is now into its third. The project has taken a lot longer than we all would like or had anticipated, Rodriguez said. There's been a lot of challenges, compounded by the fact that a lot of this construction is going on at the same time that the I-10 Broadway curve construction is going on. He explained how until 2016, that portion of 48th Street had been a private street maintained by the South Point Parkway Business Association, but had been turned over to the city because of all the traffic that it has been getting over the years. In 2017, the city began designing improvements for that stretch that included bike lanes, a whole new underground storm grid system to capture all the water flow when it rains, street lighting, widening the western half of the road to two lanes, and installing sidewalks that were handicap accessible. The road was in pretty bad condition, so we also were reconstructing the whole pavement so that we get a long-lasting road, he said. But obstacles began also as soon as the project began in November of 2021. Because of COVID, our contractor faced challenges maintaining the personnel side, and then that turned into market conditions where contractors were having a hard time getting materials, Rodriguez said. But the real problems, he added, related to the utilities and the soil condition. To explain the complexity of the utility issue, he explained that normally his department checks city records for any underground utility lines and to whom each belongs, then performs a visual inspection to ascertain we have the right location of the utilities. The only problem is that records the city had for the 48th Street segment were woefully incomplete and virtually unusable, mainly because the owner of the street, when it was private, was not required to file much with the city, he said. Whenever we're digging to install the new underground wiring, we would anticipate the utility to be one location, but it was actually found somewhere else, and the alignment of all these utilities changed throughout the length of the project, he explained. That created a challenge for the contractor, because every time they would go out there and dig in a specific place, they would find something that they weren't expecting. The other challenge that we face was there were unknown utilities, meaning that utility companies had facilities in the street, but they did not know that they actually had them or where they were at. What this means in construction is we're excavating. We find a piece of conduit that nobody claims, and unfortunately, we can't just remove it and cut it out. That was especially true because some of those utility lines served the numerous businesses along that stretch of the street. While trying to identify the owners of some utility lines, the contractor had to figure out where work could continue. There were times where we were discussing about 10 potential different locations in the project to get updates of where everybody was at, Rodriguez said. Street department officials also have previously explained that crews encountered huge boulders beneath the surface that took some time to remove. Clifford Mager, a member of the Ahwatukee Foothills Village Planning Committee, asked Rodriguez why he often sees no workers on the segment, even though it appears that relatively little work remains to be done before the slalom course of traffic cones on the mile-long stretch is eliminated. If you drive it, you'll see small sections of sidewalk or curb and gutter, road concrete platform that's being replaced because it was damaged by construction, Rodriguez replied, adding that work would likely take the rest of this year. When then we have to come and follow up with the last pavement of the project, he continued, stressing that can't be done in the winter months because the temperatures are too cold for the asphalt to properly set. We're anticipating this project to be completed early next year, Rodriguez said. As long as we get a couple of good days of good weather in late December, early January, we should be able to accomplish that, he added. Another person in the audience asked about what the city was going to do with a portion of 48th Street that is south of the segment under construction. They said that portion was also in bad shape. Rodriguez said that segment, roughly between the two roundabouts, will remain private, so the city has no control over it. He also said he was not aware of any discussions between the HOA and the city to take over that segment of 48th Street. Many times the city will not even assume control of a privately owned street until the road's construction, including the surface, meets city standards for its own roads. There is no enforcement mechanism for them to maintain their own roads, Rodriguez said. First estimated at $5 million, City Council in 2021 approved $6.3 million for the 48th Street project. It was later increased to $10.9 million. It likely will go up again, a street transportation spokesman said several months ago. With $7.8 million of that $10.9 million already spent, spokesman Greg Bach said, the city's project management team is negotiating the final cost of the remaining work needed to complete the project. No addition to the contract has yet been presented to City Council for a vote. That was Action Squad to Bring Back Streets Officials. Our next article, Ahwatukee Playwright Premieres Play in Los Angeles by Cody Dolores Miranda. Ahwatukee resident Greta Fadness is heading to Los Angeles' Zephyr Theater to premiere her one-woman play, Searching for Me in All the Wrong Places, this weekend. It was December of 2022 when the SAG-AFTRA actress, whose maiden name and professional name is Fadness, and her married name, Greta Hangis, decided to try her hand at writing a play based on her life, that opened 56 years ago in Fargo, North Dakota, where she was adopted at 4 weeks. As she candidly reveals in her GoFundMe page under Help Greta, she was in a treatment center to address an eating disorder when she serendipitously happened across the film My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which served as an inspiration and impetus. I remember that My Big Fat Greek Wedding had begun as a one-woman show in L.A., and I thought, oh, that's how I need to write about this experience, she said. Referencing her 65-day stay, My Big Fat Greek Wedding was written by Nia Vardalos, then a relatively unknown actor. Like Fadness, she performed her play as a one-woman show at a Los Angeles theater, which then morphed into the 2002 hit movie of the same name and starring Vardalos. Fadness's life is rich in notable accomplishments in sports and acting. She attended the University of Alaska Anchorage on a full-ride basketball scholarship, where she still holds the record for season and career three-point field goal percentage, and remains in the top 10 in NCAA Division II for the same. When not playing basketball at UAA, she majored in theater and was named a regional winner of the American College Theater Festival's Theater Criticism, her paper competing nationally at the Kennedy Center. And it was acting that pulled her to Los Angeles in 1992, where she garnered roles in TV shows including The X-Files, Coach, and Suddenly Susan, among other projects. Fadness is a board member of the Arizona-Utah SAG-AFTRA local. Her IMDb page, under her professional and maiden name, Greta Fadness, includes a short film illustrating her creative range. On her newly launched website, GretaFadness.com, the actor and writer and acting coach lightheartedly relates her journey to LA in her 10 Fun Facts About Me. One of the hardest things I've ever done, packing up from college and moving to LA with a car packed so tight my ironing board served as my co-pilot and my dreams served as my GPS. In what may rank as the second hardest thing she's ever done, she admits that this, her first solo show, could be a contender. Fadness moved to Phoenix in 2001, marrying Mark Hangus of Ahwatukee in 2006. It was Hangus who introduced his wife and her upcoming play premiere to the Ahwatukee Foothills News. My wife Greta and I have lived in Ahwatukee for over 20 years. We raised 3 children in Ahwatukee, and Greta has taught acting classes at Ahwatukee Children's Theater. Greta is a professional actor with many credits to her name, he wrote. Searching for Me in All the Wrong Places is a solo show about the power of connection, the possibility of recovery, and the peace found when one rediscovers their truth. While in Arizona, Fadness opted to change careers, becoming a certified paralegal, a position in which she excelled. Even so, she knew it didn't mesh with her dreams. 18 years had flown by since I last graced the stage, and somewhere along the way I'd convinced myself that a responsible career as a paralegal was the way to go. Leaving Los Angeles in 2001 meant leaving my dreams behind too, she wrote. Fadness decided to kickstart her dreams by writing and acting. She said creating her one-woman show was a way to share her life experiences, struggles, and recovery, and at the same time encourage others to seek help. The full title of her play is Searching for Me in All the Wrong Places, One Woman's Journey to Find Connection, Healing, and the Me in Her Mess. My gut told me my one-person show would be a wonderful way to get my story out, to connect with other people struggling with the issues I work through daily, she said, adding that she realized recovering and reclaiming her authentic self was a forever, full-time job that takes a village, and accepting help was the best gift I could give myself. Her play is one of 18 selected for the 3rd annual Solo Stars, a series of sensational solo shows in December at the Zephyr Theater on Melrose. It premiered on December 8th and is the 5th in the series running through December 22nd. She described her play as filled with multimedia, multiple characters, music, and film clips, some of which she interacts with. The play is directed by Jessica Lynn Johnson, who co-produces the festival with Heather Dowling. I play real-life people, and also my emotions, who take on their own names, she explained. For instance, there's the anxiety-filled Frida, the people-pleasing, perfectionistic, codependent Fawn. Shame, inner critic and ultimate disciplinarian. The Viper, the resilient cheerleader, Granny Grit. And Tara the Therapist, a play on the word therapist. Singer, songwriter, and actress Sarah Bareilles' music plays an important role in the play. Fadness said she's appreciative of those who are helping her raise the funds on her GoFundMe to help pay for this first solo show. This show is self-produced and quite expensive, so if there are people that like to help out in the arts, it would be greatly appreciated. Just search GoFundMe for Help Greta. It's actually Help Greta Share Her Story of Recovery, she said. That was Ahwatukee Playwright Premieres Play in Los Angeles. You are listening to the East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Did you know that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org? Then click on the link for broadcast info and audio. Today, we're focusing on the news of the past week from Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm Bill Carney, continuing on. Gila River I-10 bridges hit a milestone by AFN News staff. The Arizona Department of Transportation claimed a significant milestone was achieved in the construction of the new I-10 bridges over the Gila River recently. It placed 52 girders for part of the eastbound bridge, which represented a little more than a quarter of the 180 concrete bridge girders that will be part of a pair of bridges combined. Each girder is 104 feet long, 4 feet high, and weighs 42 tons. Construction of the new bridges began in May as part of the I-10 Wild Horse Pass Corridor project. The bridges comprise one of four segments of the 26-mile project corridor, which runs between the Loop 202 Santan-South Mountain Freeway interchange and State Route 387 near Casa Grande. Within the first 6 months of the bridge portion of the project, crews have poured 30 drilled shafts, 2 abutment caps, and 12 pier caps. During November and early December, crews have been on constructing additional bridge support before they pour the bridge deck. That part will be open to motorists by February, ADOT said. Once completed, the I-10 bridges over the Gila River will have 3 lanes in both directions and will have wider shoulders, just like the rest of that 26-mile stretch. ADOT hopes to reduce congestion and increase safety along the corridor by adding an additional general-purpose lane in each direction between Loop 202 to State Route 387, making the entire Phoenix-Tucson segment of I-10 3 lanes in each direction. High-occupancy vehicles, or HOV lanes, will also be extended in each direction from Loop 202 to Riggs Road. While the completion of the bridges is expected in late 2026, the entire corridor won't be completed before 2028, according to ADOT's project description. For example, other infrastructure improvements will be constructed, including freeway management systems that use a fiber optic backbone, cameras, and dynamic message signs. Similar infrastructure is planned for most of the project corridor. In addition, full freeway lighting will be installed from Loop 202 to Riggs Road. Crews are also reconstructing interchanges at Wild Horse Pass Boulevard, Sundust Road in Queen Creek Road, and SR 347 and Riggs Road, and widening of Goodyear Road. Late next year, work will begin on adding the extra lanes between the Gila River and Gasline Road, reconstructing the existing interchange at Casa Blanca Road, State Route 587, and widening the existing crossroad and bridge at Nelson Road. At the same time that work begins, work also will start on the segment between Gasline Road and State Route 387. That will include a new interchange at Seed Farm Road to improve access for the Gila River Indian community. The existing interchange at Pinal Avenue, State Route 387, State Route 187, will be reconstructed to enhance capacity and improve safety. The Gasline Road crossroad will be reconstructed and widened, while the crossroad at Dirk Lay Road crossing will be removed. The entire project will cost $937 million. That was Gila River I-10 Bridges Hit a Milestone. Our next article, Tempe, Phoenix, Bury Hatchet Over Sky Harbor, by Lee Chappelle. Tempe and Phoenix at odds for nearly a half century over Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport on flight patterns, noise, and development near the eastern end of the three runways have agreed to dismiss their respective lawsuits against each other and modify a 1994 agreement to end the decades-long dispute. Tempe City Council on November 21st unanimously approved an amendment of a 1994 intergovernmental agreement with Phoenix on noise mitigation flight procedures. Phoenix City Council on December 4th also unanimously approved the amendment, protecting one of the valley's strongest economic engines. "We found a good compromise," Tempe Mayor Corey Woods said. "This compromise will end the lawsuits and provide new clarity for both cities. I want to express my thanks and gratitude to Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego, Aviation Director Chad Makovsky, Andrew Cohn, Phoenix Aviation Advisory Board member, City of Phoenix staff, our own city leadership for coming together with the intent to find the best solutions for both our communities. Woods also credited Tempe City Manager Rosa Incasalti, City Attorney Eric Anderson, and Community Development Director Ted Temelvich for months of work to reach the settlement. For years, Tempe and the City of Phoenix have disagreed over property rights and land uses in a portion of the flight path nearest to Sky Harbor International Airport, Woods said. They've worked to come together on an agreement that will end the dispute. Our teams worked together for countless hours over a period of not weeks but months to craft this agreement, and I'm very proud and very appreciative of all the work that they've done. Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego said the city's agreement protects the airport from noise complaint lawsuits by limiting residential development nearby. Sky Harbor is our top economic engine in the city and state, contributing $44 billion to our economy every single year, Gallego said. We have long had an intergovernmental agreement with Tempe since 1994 to protect Sky Harbor and to make sure we safeguard Tempe residents impacted by noise and overflights. As some of you may be aware, we've had different interpretations over the terms and agreements. This agreement will ensure that our incredible airport will continue to improve passenger experience through significant capital investment, expanded travel options, and growth that will benefit all of us, while working hard to protect Tempe residents in development that hasn't happened, who might be surprised by noise impact. The decades-long angst reached a new high when Phoenix sued Tempe 2 years ago over its plan to build an entertainment district on 46 Tempe-owned acres at Priest Drive and Rio Salado Parkway. The parcel is within what is known as the 65 Day-Night Average Sound Level Contour, or DNL, surrounding the airport. A contour is the geographical distribution of noise levels that are superimposed on a map, and 65 refers to the decibels. The Federal Aviation Administration says that at 65 decibels or higher, residents become annoyed. Phoenix objected to the residential portion of the plan, largely because of the potential of residents to one day file lawsuits against Phoenix over noise. Phoenix feared that lawsuits ultimately could crimp Sky Harbor expansion, which it deems essential. Additionally, Tempe approved a 319-unit, 7-story apartment complex, Madera Rio Salado, on 5 acres on Rio Salado Parkway, southeast of the Entertainment District site, also within the 65 DNL contour. The two developments would have had 2,314 homes under airplane flight paths. Some pilots also expressed concern that buildings proposed in the Entertainment District could restrict air traffic due to their height. In the 1994 intergovernmental agreement, Phoenix modified flight path that follows the Salt River bottom in order to keep departing planes away from Tempe homes. Tempe promised not to permit development of homes under that modified flight path in the 65 DNL. On March 28th of 2023, Phoenix sued Tempe in Maricopa County Superior Court, alleging that Tempe's approval of the Entertainment District and Madera violated the 1994 Intergovernmental Agreement on Noise Mitigation Flight Procedures, under which there was to be no residential development within the 65 DNL. On October 10th of 2023, Tempe filed a countersuit against Phoenix, seeking a declaratory judgment that Tempe did not violate the IGA. Both cities now agree to work collaboratively to address noise concerns and ensure transparent communication with residents, and they agree to amendment of the 1994 agreement that within the 65 DNL contour, no single-family residential, multifamily residential to be rentals only, and must have noise insulation. That was Phoenix Tempe bury hatchet over Sky Harbor. And finally, from the Phoenix Business Journal, Phoenix Tempe deal could bring apartments to land once sought for Coyotes Arena, by Brandon Brown. Phoenix and Tempe officials have both unanimously approved measures that clear a path for apartments to potentially be built on a 46-acre piece of land in Tempe, once considered for an arena for the Arizona Coyotes hockey team. During a December 4th meeting, Phoenix City Council approved an amendment to an intergovernmental agreement between the two cities regarding noise mitigations and flight procedures. Tempe City Council had already approved the measure at a November 21st meeting. Going back to 2022, the two cities were at odds over the Coyotes' proposed mixed-use development, which would have been anchored by a 16,000-seat arena to be used by the now-defunct NHL franchise. The proposed development also included 1,600 luxury apartments. Phoenix claimed that by allowing apartments to be built there, which was near the end of a runway, Tempe was in violation of that agreement between the cities. Tempe officials still had their eye on developing the city-owned land on the northeast corner of Priest Drive, just south of the Salt River, so it worked with Phoenix to come to the compromise. The agreement allows for new residential units to be built in the area, close to Priest Roads near the river, but it can't be single-family residence. The units can only be apartments that can be rented according to city documents. This compromise will end the lawsuits and provide new clarity for both cities. The city of Tempe has not announced any formal plans to begin development of the city-owned land, which it currently is a landfill, but Corey Woods, mayor of Tempe, has made it clear that he would be interested in developing it into something that has more benefit to the city. The new agreement would apply to any future developments in that same area near Sky Harbor. Thank you for joining me today for the East Valley News for Ahwatukee and Tempe. I'm your volunteer reader, Bill Carney. Stay tuned for the Arizona Republic, coming up next on Sun Sounds of Arizona.